Reading this morning from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 7, we're in Mark's Gospel in our Sunday mornings. We're going to read from verse 1 of Mark chapter 7 and through to verse 23. This is what God's Word says. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Amen. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 7 and let's pray as we come to it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we open the Bible, we get to hear you speak to us. Thank you for your eternal truth that stands through all that changes around us. Help us to listen carefully and to respond to your word in faith, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Well, when we're chatting about current affairs with our friends, or there's something going on in the news and we're talking with those at work maybe about it, and they say something really insightful, we can sometimes say, "Oh, you've got right to the heart of the issue there." Or maybe there's that situation that's trying you, that problem that you've come across at work, and you're chatting about it with your colleagues about how to solve the problem, and they come up with a great idea that will deal with the issue. And we think, well, the reason you've done that is you've got right to the heart of what we're trying to achieve. And when we talk like that, we basically mean that someone has hit the nail on the head. They've diagnosed an issue with real accuracy, and the solution that they've suggested really is the best way forward. Why? Because they've got the situation exactly right. Their assessment is accurate. And while we might wish, "Oh, if only I'd come up with that idea myself," because they've rightly got to the heart of a particular problem, well, the way forward from that becomes a bit of a no-brainer. Those kinds of things can happen in our lives, maybe. And this morning, as we're carrying on in Mark's Gospel every Sunday at the moment, we're working through the book of Mark together. Little by little, we're digging into the truth of what God's saying to us in the Bible. And this morning, we find ourselves in these particular verses 14 to 23 of chapter 7. And they follow what we saw last Sunday morning. If you were here, and if you weren't, we read them earlier again, and we saw there that at first it might seem like a bit of a remote subject with some religious leaders talking to Jesus, and there's not much relevance to today. Actually, what we see there in that conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders, it gets to the very heart of the Christian message. That the most important thing that any of us can do is not follow tradition of human beings, but to follow Jesus Christ and to trust in him. Now, you might think that that's madness as you've come here this morning, but friends, be in no doubt that all of us are following something or someone this morning, whether it be a lifestyle or a sports team or a worldview or a political view. We are all trying to prove ourselves in following something. We are all relying on someone or something to prove ourselves to others, to prove ourselves to a higher power that might be out there, one of our imagination, or simply we're just trying to prove ourselves to ourselves. And we see in the verses that begin chapter 7 that Jesus warns us not to follow traditions, not to rely on keeping a long list of rules, but to simply come to him and to find rest for our souls. That's wonderful news for all of us this morning, isn't it? Because relying on ourselves is just so exhausting. Keeping up appearances is hard work. And when our priority is on doing rather than on what Jesus has done, when we prioritize what we think over what God ultimately says, well then, life is always going to fall short of what it could be. It's always going to be lacking in some way. And so as we pick up again in this conversation this morning that Jesus has started, it's all come about because of what we read back in verse 5. His opponents are questioning him about why doesn't he enforce these rules, these traditions? And the answer to that is that Jesus has a better fix for our human hearts. And so I simply have got two truths for us this morning to help us to grasp what Jesus is saying. And the first is found in verses 14 to 19. And it's very simply that rule-keeping won't fix you. Rule-keeping won't fix you. Jesus calls everyone in the crowd around him to listen to him, to strive to understand what he's saying. And right at the outset this morning, I want to encourage you to do exactly the same. I hope you know that there's no such thing as an accident. And you are here this morning for a reason. And we're in these few Bible verses on this particular Sunday for a reason. And that reason is that you might listen carefully to the words of Jesus Christ, that we might hear what he has to say to us and to respond to it in faith. And this is what Jesus says in verse 15. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. And I suppose we could put it this way. It's not what we eat, it's not what we swallow or put into us that pollutes our lives. It's what comes out of our hearts that is polluting, says Jesus. Now, we know that some foods are healthier to eat than other foods, but that's not really the point here. The point is this. How do we make sense of all that is bad and all that is wrong in the world? Where does it come from? The religious rulers of the day, they had a view on it. And I'm sure you have a view on that kind of question as well. The answer that they gave to Jesus was that all the bad, all the wrong, all the sin in the world, and that's the word the Bible uses for all the shortcomings and failures that we see in the world around us and in our own lives, that those things are there because simply we just don't follow the rules. And if only people did keep the rules, including the most odd traditions like they had in those days, like hand washing, well, then there'd be no more bad, and God would have to be pleased with them or even us. I wonder, maybe that's how you see the world, friend, this morning. I wonder, is that how you explain all the bad things that go on, all the wrong things that are happening in our world today, even in our lives? If more people just kept the rules, well, then all would be better. Well, that's a nice idea. But friends, you need to know this morning that such a view involves a major glaring error. And it was the error of the religious leaders in Jesus' day. And it's an error that you and I too can all too easily make. And it's this. That is a superficial view of sin. By that I mean we have a surface level view of what is wrong in our world. Our grasp of what is good and what is bad does not go deep enough. And I say that with all sincerity, because what happens when we have a surface level grasp of sin is that we think that through rules we can just regulate sin and all the bad and all the wrong stuff out of existence. But of course we can't do that, can we? We never can do that. Don't the violent riots of what we've seen in our own country in recent months show us something of what the human heart is capable of? Doesn't the overcrowding that's been in the news this week in our prisons show us the propensity, the potential of the human heart to commit crime, to break the law? Doesn't the almost daily news of stabbings and murders across the country, let alone the world, doesn't it show us that it really is true that sin is not the result of our environment, but of the evil in our hearts? You might not call yourself a believer in God this morning, and yet all of us think that it's what we do outwardly that matters. Maybe you're willing to admit you believe in some kind of God that's out there, and as a result, you think that just mechanically obeying and sticking rigidly to a set of rules is what you think will somehow keep this God happy, to please this higher power. Friends, that which pollutes us and our world and makes it the way it does, it doesn't come from out there. It comes from in here. And there's been quite a lot in the news lately, hasn't there, about water companies, and they've been discharging large quantities of sewage into the sea or into the rivers, and it's had such a terrible effect on water quality and on wildlife and on those brave people who've gone for a cold dip in the sea and they've got on well as a result of it. Pollution defiles an environment. It makes it unclean. And that, friends, is the stark but serious point that we find here as the diagnosis of the human condition that is presented to us, not by me, but by Jesus himself. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. But you still might be thinking, well, what on earth are you on about, Dav? I still don't get what Jesus is saying. And if you feel like that, well, don't worry, you're not the only one, because the disciples of Jesus, they asked him about this parable after he'd left the crowd. And so again, he says in verse 18, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Jesus begins to explain by getting to the heart. And the heart of the issue is that he's speaking of our hearts. What we eat, what goes into us, doesn't go to our hearts. And by hearts, Jesus isn't talking about that vital organ that's pumping blood around our bodies at this moment. No, in speaking of the heart, Jesus is referring to the center of your being, the core of your personality. I suppose today we might speak of the mind instead, that which makes us who we are. And Jesus is saying the problem isn't what's on the outside. It's not about what you eat. All food goes down the same way, doesn't it? And in the end, once we've digested it and got all the good stuff out of it, it all literally ends up going down the drain. And so Mark, what does he do? He inserts a little comment and tells us that, well, all food is clean. We can eat what we like. And sure, there might be a time to avoid certain foods. We might want to go easy on some stuff sometimes for our own health. But given that in Jesus' day, there was such strict food laws, as there continues to be today in many religions of the world, in Judaism and Islam, this would have been quite earth-shattering. But that's because Jesus is again and again seeking to break down the thinking that by doing what we do, we can therefore please God and solve the problems of our lives. But Jesus says, rules won't fix you, friends. What you and I eat, nothing can do to make us who we are. It can't destroy our relationship with God. It can't produce a relationship with God. Rule keeping won't fix you, whether it's about what you eat, which was a big deal back in Jesus' day, or with anything else today, whatever it is you're seeking to do. They can't change who you are. They can't fix the problem of our world. Why? Because it just doesn't go deep enough. If your heart is far away from God, if you don't have your faith in Him, then no matter what you eat or what you do or what you say, no matter how nice and respectable you are, it's not going to help you prove yourself to God. Rule keeping won't fix you. It can't. It simply can't. If it did, then surely humanity would be further along the road to a better world by now, wouldn't it? But a quick look at history will tell you, well, that's not happened. Humanity as a whole has never been better at killing each other as we are on this very day. And friends, this might sound bleak. I know it is. But we need a clear diagnosis of the problem if you and I are to have a clear solution. If you or a family member of yours is seriously unwell and are admitted to hospital, you want the doctor to find out what's wrong with you, don't you? Why? Not so that you can then just despair over the disease and say, isn't this disease terrible? What an awful illness I've got. No, but so that you can have a treatment and medicine that might be given that might be able to cure you or your relative. And friends, that's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. We need to get to the heart of the issue of how can we ever please God? How can we ever deal with the problem of all the bad, all the wrong, all the sin that is in the world and in our lives? And Jesus says this is a matter of our hearts. The heart that is the center of who we are. But as we read earlier in verse 6, naturally, our hearts, they're far from God. And that, friend, is the sorry state of all of our hearts by nature, your heart and mine. That's the position of all of us. Our hearts are far from God. We rebel against Him and His ways. We think that we know what is best, and we live in this world as if it is our own, giving no thought to God, ignoring Him every day. I wonder if you're willing to admit that in yourself this morning, friend. It takes some honesty to do that. But Jesus gets to the heart. He is God in the flesh, and He knows what we're like. He knows we like to rely on what we do, that we prefer to do our own thing instead of following Him. And so He tells us clearly this morning that rule-keeping, it won't fix you. It can't change you. It has no power to transform a person or a community or a nation. Left to ourselves, we are left going in one sorry direction, spiraling ever downwards into the mess of our own sin and shortcomings. And friends, if this is as far as we went, then it would admittedly be quite a depressing message. But the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is anything but depressing. It is the greatest news in all the world. There is nothing else like it. For in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, there is hope of a new start, a fresh beginning, a changed outlook, a transformed life. And so secondly, this morning in verses 20 to 23, let's draw out this second truth this morning, which is that Jesus is the hope for our hearts. Jesus is the hope for all of our hearts here this morning. And you might look at verses 20 to 23 and think, well, how on earth can I say Jesus is the hope of our hearts when in many ways the tone of the conversation is continuing on in the way that it has so far? Well, you would be right in many ways, as Jesus, He's almost digging even deeper. And He gives us a catalogue of the deeper evils of the heart to hammer home the point that even, verse 20, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within. Out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And Jesus lists 12 things here, not an exhaustive list, but just a sample of what your heart and my heart, the human heart, is like, of what it's capable of. And in the first 6, He lists evil actions that we do, and in the other 6, He lists evil attitudes and thoughts that we can think. And what Jesus is doing here is He's making it really clear that He's talking to every single one of us. Can any of us say we aren't guilty of any of these things? You might protest and you might say, well, I've never been sexually immoral. I've been faithful to my husband or wife. I've never stolen anything like our thief in the children's talk. I've never killed anyone. And maybe you haven't done those things physically. But have you ever said something malicious or slanderous or unkind against another human being, if you ever lied and deliberately not told the whole truth in order to get what you want, have you ever been so focused on money and how much you're earning, how big your pension pot is, of what you've got in your bank account, that you're falling into hoarding, greedy attitudes without even realizing it? You ever been envious of something a friend has got, envious of how much pay that person in the office is getting compared to you, envious of the bigger house that your neighbor's got next door, even though you work just as hard and do longer hours than they do? I could go on, but I hope you get the point. Jesus isn't making any distinction between our thoughts and our actions. Whatever flows from the heart or your mind is what matters. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus doesn't mean that our actions have no importance. Of course they do. And it's not only the thought that counts, but evil actions are rooted in evil thoughts. And if we are to deal with the actions, then we must deal with the root cause. Friends, have you ever really never done any of these things listed by Jesus? Are you honestly saying this morning that you've not once fallen short of what Jesus is saying here? I know that I can't say that. I'm guilty of these things. And if you're honest enough, well then, you will know that you are too. Let's stop pretending that we're something we're not, because Jesus has hit the nail on the head here, hasn't he? Isn't Jesus' picture of the human heart so terribly accurate and so true to our own experience? Jesus gets to the heart of who we are, and it makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Let's be honest, Jesus is right. And we don't like that. Of course we don't like that. But the truth can hurt. And here Jesus gets to the very heart of who we are and what the problem is that we all face. Our hearts are sinful. It's simply who we are. The religious leaders in Jesus' day, they thought that what mattered was what you did or didn't do. But the point that Jesus is making is that every single one of us, every human being that has ever lived, falls short of the perfect standard of God. The bar is so high that none of us can meet it. And nothing our rebellious hearts can ever do will change that. Now, to be confronted with this truth, that which is summarized in verse 23, that all these evils come from inside and defile a person, it leaves us with very few options. We can deny the problem, but that's not the evidence that we see in our world as we put on the news, is it? Or so we can ignore the problem, maybe. We can bury our heads in the sand. We can hope it'll all just go away. And we can do that in all kinds of ways. Drinking, consuming yourself with work, numbing our minds with endless screen time, or any other way we might try to escape the grim reality of our polluted human hearts. Or, and here is the much better option, or we can start by admitting that we are hopelessly broken and that the only solution is a brand new replacement. And that, friends, is why I say that Jesus is the hope for our hearts this morning. The only way to deal with what is on the inside is a new heart. That is our desperate need. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give us. That, I think, we've seen this morning, is the very heart of the problem of our world. That is our desperate need. It is our only hope. And that is exactly what Jesus came to give. Think of it this way. Imagine that you own the car that you've always wanted. It's a great car. You've done so many miles in it, and you've had it for many years, and it's served you so well. It's never failed. But we all know that time comes when it does fail, doesn't it? It fails the MOT, and it fails the next one, and we're throwing money at it because we love this car. We want to keep it on the road. But the longer time goes on, the more and more things go wrong with it until it's no longer safe to drive. And at that point, what is the only option that you have? Well, you can deny the problem and pretend there's no issue at all, but the flashing lights on your dashboard are telling you otherwise. Or you can just ignore the problem. You could bury your head in the sand and ignore the warnings. But you know that if you do that, well, you'll only end up either breaking down in the middle of nowhere and being lost, or you'll have an accident that might even take your own life. It would be madness, wouldn't it, to not replace that undrivable car, as much as you love it and care for it and have memories. you know that you need to replace it with a new car that'll reliably work in a way that your current car doesn't. And friends, what Jesus Christ is saying to us this morning is that He is the only hope for our hearts. We can't carry on as we are with our broken, sinful hearts. It's just hopeless. Only He can produce that inner transformation that the law of God requires but can never effect in our lives. Jesus is offering a cure for the problem of our hearts. Our hearts have a disease that we cannot fix by ourselves. But Jesus Christ has come for sinners such as us. It is the sick who need a doctor and not the healthy. And so to all we who fall short of the glory of God, we need someone who can do that which we cannot do. And Jesus Christ is wonderful. And He has come to do what you and I cannot do, no matter how hard we try. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And He did that. As He came into this world, God taking on flesh, God living as a human being, just like you and just like me. And He walked our roads and He felt our pains and He experienced every emotion that can be felt. He lived a fully perfect human life. And yet not at any stage did He fall short of the standard of God. Not once did Jesus fall into the evil actions and attitudes of our list here in Mark 7. Not once was He guilty of wrongdoing against God or against others. Not once did Jesus disobey or do wrong. He was without sin. And yet, despite His perfection, He suffered and bled and died. He bore the burden of our sins to Calvary, and He suffered and died alone at the cross, as we've sung. But isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever realized that despite all your imperfections, the perfection of Jesus Christ, the perfect one who came and lived and died and has risen again from the dead, that you might know your sins forgiven, that you might know peace with God and a totally changed life and a new heart, a transformed existence can be yours this morning, not because of anything you can ever do or could do, but because of Him, because of Jesus. You need to realize that the madness to carry on as you are, it makes no sense. But Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the hope for all of our hearts here this morning. He promises us that all who will come to Him, He'll never turn away. And this morning He calls you to come to Him through His word. He says to us in these verses, stop trying to prove yourself. You'll never do enough, and you don't need to do it anyway, because I have done it for you. And I have the scars in my hands and my feet to prove it. There is nothing more for you to do. Stop running away from me. Stop running any longer, but simply come back to me in faith and believe that I died and I rose again for you. That's what Jesus says to us this morning, friends. Come to me. Will you do that? He is the hope for our hearts this morning. He is the one that you need to know. He alone can fix the problem of our hearts. Rule keeping won't ever fix you, but Jesus can. And He will. He can change your life in an instant, all for the better. It'll never be the same again. And maybe you've done that already. You've come to Jesus as you were. You've put your faith in Him, and you've turned from the way that you used to live, and you've realized that you can't carry on as you are, relying on yourself. And now you're seeking to live for Jesus. You're trusting in Him with the help of His Spirit who dwells within your new heart. And you're now experiencing one of the great Old Testament promises of Ezekiel 36, verse 26, where we read the Lord promise, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And so there's an important reminder for all of us who are Christians here this morning. This is the new reality for us. Even if you've been a follower of Jesus for many years, you have a new heart. God has given you that, a new life in Him. And yet we can so easily still forget, can't we, that we can never make ourselves more acceptable to God. We can still, though, try and do certain things and not do certain things to think we do that to keep in God's good books. And it's so subtle and so easy to slip into that way of thinking. And so we must guard our hearts. Those of us who've been given a new heart in the Lord Jesus, we must keep looking to Him and to Him alone. There is a battle that wages on within us between the old and the new, and we need to continue to guard ourselves against the seeds of every possible sin. We must nip it in the bud and root it out, because we're now no longer under the power of sin, because the Lord Jesus has given us a new heart. The cold, rebellious heart of stone is gone, and the living heart of life and a love for God and neighbor has been given to us. And so we go into this new week confident of that, hoping only in Jesus, ensuring that we're looking to Him, the great hope of our hearts. And as we close, that is what I want to leave with you. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again from the dead is the only hope for our hearts this day and always, friends. The answer to the problem of our human heart, it's been the same throughout all of history. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Friends, by our nature, it's like we're stuck in a prison. We're bound in sin. And that is maybe a description of you, an honest description of you this morning. But in an instant, as you call out to God in your heart, even now this morning, you can wake from your spiritual slumber. The chains can fall off and your heart can be free. You can go now and follow Jesus Christ. Will you do that today, that friend? Will you follow Jesus Christ? The only hope for this world, the only hope for you, the only hope for me. Will you turn to Him this morning? Believe in Him and come to know the life that you were made for. Rule keeping won't ever fix you, but Jesus Christ can. He is the hope for all of our hearts this morning. So why not come to Him, find new life in Him, a changed life that will never be the same again, and all for the better, because you know the one true living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we are here this very morning and you've brought us to hear the truth of who you are. It isn't easy to hear the truth of who we are, but it is necessary. And we pray that you would help us to admit the problem of our sin and to set our hope on Jesus, the only one who can save us from ourselves through His life and death and resurrection from the dead. We thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us. And we pray you'd help us to live for you always, strengthened by your Holy Spirit, encouraged by the new heart we have from you. In Jesus' name, amen.